Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Friday, May 22nd, 2015, and on today's podcast, we're going to address some of the problems in our society, some of the problems that the federal government attempts to address. It addresses them, but it never solves them. These problems involve poverty, hunger, and the decay of our inner cities. President Obama gave a speech in New York City recently on this subject of the government intervening in our inner cities with money, the government injecting money into the inner cities of America. He said that was because of the, quote, ideals we're built on. That's what he said, the ideals we're built on. The government spends on these problems, but it never solves the problem. So each year, the numbers go up, the numbers of people eligible, the numbers of dollars spent, they go up, or they get worse, if you will. The government doesn't see it that way, though. As the government sees it, when the numbers go up due to more people in poverty or to adjustments to the formulas for qualifying or whatever, the government views that as success because in its benevolence, the government is, quote, helping more people. In reality, though, it's failure. Because the government has intervened in the economy to the point where it completely controls it. It is therefore completely responsible for it. And due to or despite that intervention and control and responsibility, more and more people need assistance or at least qualify for it. A recent report to the Government Accounting Office by the Director of Education, Workforce, Income Security on Domestic Food Assistance, Kay Brown is the director's name. Ms. Brown revealed that the federal government provided food assistance to more than 109 million people last year at a cost of over $100 billion. I see that as government failure because about one-third of the American population is receiving food assistance. That's what that means, folks. One-third of us cannot adequately feed ourselves. I call that failure. The federal government spent over $100 billion, as I said, on 18 domestic food assistance programs in 2014. Federal spending on the five largest programs has increased over the last 20 years, driven largely by Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, better known as food stamps. Federal food assistance is decentralized by shoveling federal money out to federal, state, and local organizations. The 18 programs are administered by three different federal agencies. Director Brown freely admits, however, in her report that 11 of the 18 programs have no way to measure results, so it is impossible to know if they actually help or not. The top five programs, that being SNAP, the National School Lunch Program, the Special Supplemental Nutrition Program for Women, Infants, and Children, or WIC, the School Breakfast Program, and the Child and Adult Care Program, accounted for 96% of the total spending on all 18 programs. SNAP alone accounted for more than 70% of total spending. The top five programs, except for WIC, are all entitlement programs, meaning that by law they must provide benefits to all applicants that meet eligibility requirements. So participation and benefits for these programs are not capped, and they have no specifically allocated spending amounts. Food assistance programs as a whole have increased by $40 billion since 2010, most of the increase due to SNAP and federal efforts to recruit more people into the SNAP program. SNAP participation has almost doubled since 2010, from 26 million people to 48 million people. The question before us then is not whether the federal government is constitutionally permitted to do this, to provide this assistance or not. Our question is whether the federal government is succeeding or just making matters worse, and whether it's even possible to succeed with this type of approach. Why do people in the inner cities, the people of whom the president spoke, the people who received the food assistance, why do they seem so unhappy? A better question, why are there so many people who need or at least qualify for food assistance? Are there no jobs in our cities? Because if there are jobs, then able-bodied people should be working. The answer to that question is pretty simple, folks. No, there are no jobs in the cities for people free trade agreements like NAFTA, which shipped 5 million good-paying manufacturing jobs offshore. Those were jobs with security and with benefits, jobs you could take pride in. You could feed and educate your own family. Better to ship those offshore so that large multinational corporations could make products cheaper, ship them back to America so people on food assistance could buy them. Now we have the worst free trade deal ever for the United States in the final stages of fast-track status. One might think, from thinking about the Trans-Pacific Partnership, one might think that our politicians hate us, that they hate this country and its people. But it's really just the lust for power and for money. As an aside, keep in mind that the United States does not have enough income or revenue, as they would put it, to pay for what it is doing. So it does it anyway through debt. Debt and offshoring kills growth. Dead growth means dead tax base. But nobody seems to care about all this. It just goes on and on. What then can be done for our cities? If anything, there are many things, many reforms, which could help to revitalize our cities and return them to a more dynamic status. The young have to be put to work. That gives them pride. It gives them a way to feed their families, as I said. It gives them a way to raise their families instead of having the government raise them. Welfare, including food assistance, is set up to destroy families. Trace it right back to the beginning of the breakdown of families in America. It's a major cause of the problems it is designed to fix. Some phase out or phase down of these programs is vital, but job-killing programs have to go first. People have to be able to work or feed themselves in some fashion. There are many reforms for our cities, as I said, but that is for another day. We do not have to accept our cities as hopeless cesspools, however. We could change if we really wanted to. At least that's the way I see it, folks. Until next time, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.